for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, September the 3rd, 1988. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the teacher of the morning. This is tape one of two tapes of the morning service. And this tape begins with prophetic word to the body.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Jesus, now we are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray, hallelujah, Jesus, now we are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray, Jesus, now we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my God. I love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you now. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, oh, yes, Lord. I'll praise you forever. I love you forever. Lord. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. Oh, lovely Lord. Lovely, lovely Lord. Lovely Lord. Lovely Lord. Lovely Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yea, hear, O house of the Lord. Yea, give ear. Pay heed. Yea, let me have your attention, saith the Lord. For I have come into the midst of thee as one that ministers, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall pour out of my spirit among thee. Yea, and in thee and upon thee, in this place this night, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall draw you into the realm of my Shekinah glory. I shall shower blessings down upon you, as you do open your heart to receive, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall minister forth through the channels that I have chosen, saith the Lord. I shall bring healing. I shall bring deliverance. Yea, I shall bring salvation in every realm, saith the Lord, because I have gathered thee unto myself. Yea, know that you are now, even now, under attack by the adversary, saith the Lord. Yea, and a great shaking is in process. But I have raised up an army. Yea, I have raised up a people that will do exploits. Yea, they will be a great people, for the Lord thou God shall endow them with his own life and spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, and you shall not be activated on your own, but the Spirit of the Almighty shall activate thee. Yea, and the things that shall be accomplished shall even astound you yourself, saith the Lord. Yea, and thou shalt often be found saying, Lord, I didn't know I had that. Indeed you didn't, saith the Lord. Yea, but if you present yourself a channel, yea, I'll flow through you, saith the Lord. Yea, for know that the adversary is attempting to wear out the patience of the saints of the Most High. Yea, but the saints of the Most High shall not be overcome, but they shall be overcomers. Yea, you shall not go under, but you shall go over. For I, the Lord, thou God, shall lead thee in a plain path. Yea, so plain indeed that a wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err herein, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall teach you deep things, but they shall be simple to your spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, for many things I have to say unto mine, that are mine own elect. Howbeit, to this day thou hast not been able to hear them, but each day now. Yea, and each week, as weeks stack upon weeks and turn to months, yea, thou wilt glean a little more, and a little more, and a little more. For don't you know that I will, yea, bring you to the place of gleaning? Yea, even you shall partake of a double gleaning, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for I shall build you line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. Yea, for you see, it is not you that I am attempting to perfect, but I am perfecting myself in you, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and when this doth, this already hath begun to happen. It is already in progress. Yea, even the feelings that you have now, even the anxiety, these come from the workings of the Almighty. For I've gathered you together. Yea, gather my saints together unto me. Yea, and I shall pour out blessing upon blessing. Yea, I shall use all parts of the word, of the living word on thee. I shall bring correction. I shall admonish thee. Yea, I shall exhort thee. Yea, I shall encourage thee. It is all for your strengthening, saith the Lord thou God. It is all for the building up of the body of Christ in the earth. Yea, for do you not know that you are fast becoming the righteousness of God in Christ? Yea, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Well, it was God's prerogative to account his faith for righteousness if he so desired. And if he so desires, can he not make us the righteousness of God in Christ? For in him, that is, in your blessed Savior, was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I tell you, as surely as that is true, it is equally true that now you are the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yea, I have no other body in the earth
I accept the Spirit-filled people, yea, that I have called out from all walks of life. I cannot express myself bodily. I accept that you will prepare a way, that I allow me to prepare a way that I can move through thee, saith the Lord, thou God. I tell you a truth, that I have invested much in thee. I shall lead you forth as a tender shepherd with the smallest of his lambs, saith the Lord, thou God. And I shall teach you again and again, and you shall know that I am the Lord, and you are my people. I'm not ashamed to identify with you, saith the Lord. Yea, I see that you be not ashamed to claim your own identity with me, saith the Lord. And even in this, you will be made strong. Yea, I'll let you flourish in the songs of Zion, the beautiful worship courses. I'll prepare a table right in your presence and feed you and let you feast on delicacies, saith the Lord. For I have already directed good things toward you. Yes, get ready, because the showers are coming and the rain is going to pour. It's going to be an abundance of rain that is going to rain down upon you. I speak of spiritual things. Hear me with your spiritual ear, saith the Lord. Ah, hallelujah. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, may Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they had swallowed us up quick. When their anger was kindled against us. Then had the streams overwhelmed us, and the waters had passed over us, and the proud waters had gone over our souls. But thanks be to God, He didn't give us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. We are escaped. Our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah. The Lord God reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. He is clothed with strength, whereof he girdeth himself. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters. That is, he's mightier than public opinion. Hallelujah. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. That is, he's mightier than the deeds that is constituted by public opinion. I tell you, hallelujah, amen. Thy testimonies are very true, O Lord, and holiness becometh your house forever. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God forever. Bless his name. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I bring to you resurrection life, saith the Lord. Yea, I do not bring to you just a humdrum, defeated life, but I bring you resurrection. For do you not know that I am the resurrection and the life? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Yea, I bring you a resurrection life, for I am that life, saith the Lord. And my life I give for thee, my life I give unto thee. Yea, for your blessed Lord has risen, and he is alive. And because he lives, he rings back an invitation. Because I live, you can live also. Life. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This morning, why, Brother Jack Harris, a prophet and apostle of the Lord, in my estimation, And I appreciate his ministry and that which the Lord gives him to minister to the people, to the household of faith.
I feel a great privilege to be here this morning in the presence of God and before this people, and just for this great spirit of praise and worship this morning. We're just having a great time. I believe it rained. Somebody said it rained outside, and I know it rained inside. I believe that's what the first prophetic sounding of the trumpet said. It's going to rain. It has rained. It's already it's fulfilled. Beginning to be fulfilled.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I always count it a great pleasure to meet, you know, new folks that I haven't seen before, members of the body of Christ. And I've met so many people I certainly can't remember them, and I've covered wide areas in ministry, and a lot of people remember me that I don't remember them. I mean, I'm looking at, over 200 people here this morning, and you're looking at me. You'll remember me, but I can't be called to account to remember. It must be 250 or more in here, maybe 300. I don't know. I'm not too much on estimating the head count, but I always appreciate a good attendance, and this is good attendance, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It sure makes the pastor feel good if he can call for the ushers to bring in some extra chairs. I was glad to let me do that. Makes me feel good, you know. Means we've got a full house. You know. It is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, we've come to something really good. And that's what I'd like to talk with us about this morning. God has a plan for deliverance. It's the title to a message that I think I'd like to share with you. I'll be about an hour and a half. That's kind of brief for me sometimes. Not as lengthy as the one brother that I heard about. He had been over his hour and a half, and every once in a while he'd look at his wrist, but he didn't have his watch on. And so he just kept going, and finally, he apologized after about 2.5 hours and said, well, he didn't mean to be so, or he pauses after about 2.5 hours and looks at his watch and said, I'm sorry, folks, and I just haven't got a watch. Fellered back in the back said, there's a calendar behind you.
That's good.
Well, maybe I won't be that lengthy. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn said something that caught my attention immediately when he said he thought that we needed to learn it from all the way back to Adam. And I certainly agree with that. It's all right here. It's all right here in the first book of the Bible. It's he lays out the seed thought for everything that's going to happen right on through, plumb through the kingdom age. Of course, you have to have more than normally. You'd have to have revelation from the Lord to get it, and you'd never get it all with revelation. But you see, the written word is not enough. That's why you could just get tapes and get literature and read it, but the word was made flesh and dwelled among men. You see, they couldn't understand the letter. The letter killeth, the spirit maketh life. So finally, the Lord came, our blessed Savior, and personified the written scriptures, and actually made it where we could understand it. Right in the beginning of the book here, in the Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, do you see anything here? God said, let us do something. And then he does it in the next verse. In one verse, he says, let us do something. What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to make a man in our image and after our likeness. Then in verse 27, God brings this to a partial fulfillment. But I say again, to a partial fulfillment. Now, you'll have to hear me by the Spirit this morning, because I'm going to, we'll wade out into some deep waters here. You want to do that?
Amen.
I believe that everybody ought to have an opportunity to hear this message under the anointing. If you can't hear it under the anointing, then read it off of the script or off the tape. But it's good to hear it come. How shall I hear without a preacher? So you hear me by the Spirit this morning. The natural things, I'll use the natural to portray the spiritual, but I want you to hear the Spirit. But it might be, I might even, I don't know what all I'll say, so if I would get offensive if you hear me in the natural, but if you hear me by the Spirit, you will know. If you feel as we deliver this teaching this morning that deep, a depth from the throne of the Almighty has stirred the depth of your spirit, it just may indicate that you are programmed to be a son of God, to be a deliverer. Hallelujah. To be in the elite. Hallelujah. Of God's great army. All right, in the 27th verse, God created this man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, there is one thing we said in the 27th verse. There is a partial fulfillment. God said, I'm going to make a man in my image and after my likeness. When he created this man, he was in his image. But it doesn't say that Adam was in his likeness. Because to be in his image would be a resemblance of the what God would be in a body form. He had that, but he had not the likeness. But God still, his prophecy is true because he is not talking completely about Adam here. He's talking about Adam, the first Adam, and the last Adam. And the last Adam was in his image and his likeness. Hallelujah. Oh, this Adam was in his image, but he had not the personality. He had not the characteristics. He had not the stability of God. But in the last Adam, he had the image, he had the mind. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, you know, Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, a man and his wife walks together, but they don't always agree on everything, do they? On the minute details of life, they do not agree, but they have one common goal. And that's what that scripture means. How can two walk together except they have one common goal? We may indeed not understand each other as we walk from time to time, but we still have one mutual common goal that is driving us, leading us. Hallelujah. Amen. We've heard a voice that others didn't hear. Hallelujah. And we felt an urge that others didn't feel. I'm ever reminded of the time that I stood in awe and watched the sun blacked out as the swallows arose to return to a warmer climate in the fall of the year. And long that morning, well, the swallows had been in the cliffs on the ocean. That's where they came and built and raised their young. And they'd been there all summer. There must have been millions of them. And scattered among them were some jaybirds, mockingbirds, crows, seagulls, and other species of birds. But on this morning, about 9 o'clock or so in the morning, without any signal that we heard, without anything happening in unison, they rose and began their flight as straight as an arrow. They were going to sunny Africa. Hallelujah. Amen. And I was amazed. And I went down to the cliffs after the drill was over. And I looked to see where they had departed from. And there down on the rocks and on the shoreline there, the jaybirds were down there pecking away at the dead carcasses that the sea, the tide had brought in. And the crows were down there eating of the same dike. And the mockingbirds were still there. All the other species. Yeah, I said, they heard a voice. Them swallows heard a voice that them other birds didn't hear. Hallelujah. They felt an urge that that crow didn't feel. And they had to answer the call. Now, I said that to say this, that you may sit on the pew right beside another that is more more esteemed than you. But you may hear a voice that he will not hear. You may feel an urge that he will not feel. And once you hear that voice and feel that urge, and if deep calls unto deep, I'll tell you, you are ruined. Hallelujah. Amen. God won't spew you out of his mouth, but denomination will. If you hear this call, and deep calls unto deep, you will know that you've heard from God. Hallelujah. And you will never be the same. And you won't be satisfied to peck on that old dead carcass that the tide brings in daily. You'll have to have some fresh meat to eat. You'll have to have some life-giving word. You'll have to acquaint yourself with a living word. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord and our God. I wish I had just this group of people right here to teach for a month. 4 or 5 hours a day. I'd start right here. Hallelujah. And I'd bring you to the kingdom. Hallelujah. And you might notice, I might not mention the rapture as Speed Wilson did, or the absence of a rapture, but I'll tell you one thing, when I got through, you'd notice that I hadn't brought you through one, and I've got you way over on the far side of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, the rapture theory is, as I understand it, was that everybody that's claimed the Lord is a personal Savior is going to be caught out. But I think that doesn't make good sense, and that God wouldn't train us so strenuously just to lift us out about the time the fight started. Yeah. Glenn has told you that during World War II, I was in an elite paratrooper division. We were kindly General Omar Bradley's answer to the German Gestapo paratrooper division, where they had all the big guys, and we were all had to be a certain size to get in. Then that was not the only qualification, however, but they trained us rigidly. Oh, it was rigid. You had to be really well. It just took good men, good physical statue to stand the strenuousness of the training. And then came the day, 2 days before D-Day, on the 4th of June, well, on the 3rd night of June, they told us to fall out in 15 minutes with everything. Well, they often did that. We'd fall out for a few minutes, and they'd say, false drill, go back in. Now, we thought this was another one of them, but tonight they loaded us on trucks, blinded out, and hauled us. We don't know where they took us. We wasn't supposed to know. They took us to a big field in a big warehouse. And there, when I walked in that warehouse, I noticed a sand table as long as this building. And I knew it looked like a beach. In other words, I knew that Now we were going to get our final orders. And that's what it was. And we had a colonel. His name was Colonel Jones. He was a World War I veteran, one-eyed. He was, oh, goodness, he looked as old as I am now then, but I don't know if he was quite that old. But I think he was well in his 50s. I'm sure he was. And he was tough. Oh, he was tough. Or so he had us thinking he was, and nobody ever challenged him. So I still think he was tough. And he comes in through the rear door there, and the battalion commander rises up to introduce him, and he tells him to shut up. I'll tell him who I am. This is kind of tough, he was. And he told us that 24 hours from now, a lot of you will be dead. Well, that's good news. Hallelujah. Amen. But he gave us a real pep talk. I tell you, Glenn is my patriotic counterpart here, and Colonel Wilson now, but I mean, as he spoke, all the curl came out of my hair. I really got patriotic. He said, "You are not the best. You're not the cream of the crop. You're the cream of the cream." You know, the cream always rises to the top. But we were above that. We was the cream of cream. And there is not a better trained unit nowhere in the world than you. Now, he said, "I want you to go in there and do your job." I'd do it myself, but the brass won't let me. But you are second to nobody. And, oh, I felt real patriotic, felt real, you know, really brave. And then come the time to load up on that plane. So I loaded on a C-47 with, you know, 47 troopers or whatever it was. I think probably there was 48 of us back there. And of course, the rest of the company was in three more C-47s. And when we reached the target, we'd have 32 seconds, I believe it was, to get off, all of us. Or else you'll be too far over the target. We was coming down on cliffs, so you got to hit right. And that's where the big guns are. And so we got on that thing, and we become airborne. And this boy got scared. I was so scared that my scared was scared. And I wondered if everybody was as scared as me. And then I calculated that perhaps they weren't. And then I began to worry. But I wasn't worried about just dying. I mean, that seemed to be a foregone conclusion. I was just worried about how I'd do it. In case there were any survivors to tell Grandma. And to tell the world. I wondered which way I'd go. Would I panic? Would I freeze? What would I do? I mean, I've been through all the simulations, but there wasn't really nobody trying to kill me. And in the back of my mind, I knew that they're not really trying to kill me, but now in the back of my mind, in the front of my mind, and all over, I know that they are trying to kill me. So we approached the target, and the pilot calls back and asks me, "Are you ready to go?" And I said, "When you flip the light, I'll be ready. Just give me the light." He said, "You remember you got 32 seconds to get off the plane. I'll start a countdown in exactly 2 minutes." And he said, "Good luck to you. Is there any last thing that I can do for you?" And I said, "Yeah, there is one thing. If you can get Colonel Jones on the radio, I'd like to hear him tell me one more time just how tough I am." Now, so that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm telling you how great you are, how great God is going to make you. Well, to make a long story short, I got out all right and got on the ground all right. I seen a great rock there that I wanted to get behind if I got that far. And sure enough, I hit close to it. I'd already unbuckled everything, was ready to go, you know. And I shook off my chute and headed for that rock. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. As I approached that thing, I seen bullets bouncing off of it from everywhere. And I didn't know, I realized I hadn't been here long enough to establish a front, and I don't know where behind it is. Hallelujah. But I didn't panic. I began to give orders to the survivors, which were few. And we began to consolidate our position, which was new. Hallelujah. Amen. But come the next morning, it come a storm that night, and they didn't get to come in on the 5th as was scheduled, but we had it ready for them. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Germans realized that what was happening then, they had thought we was coming in way lower down there. They realized what was happening, and they printed some pamphlets right quick and shot them up to us. You know, to tell us that the Eisenhower had already surrendered the Allied forces. And the fellow said, "What do you think about this?" I said, "I don't know. Ike may have surrendered, but I ain't." Hallelujah. Amen. I come to fight. Well, I was scared a lot of times after that, but never so now I had been through the testing ground. I knew what was in here. Hallelujah. I knew what was in here. That's why you're going through all the testing grounds. God can know what's in there. But now, if we'd have been like the majority of the Spirit-filled church, what the colonel would have said to us is, tomorrow morning, or the day after tomorrow morning, we'll drop you tomorrow evening, then on the 5th, there will be an... on the 5th, there's going to be an invasion. The thing that we've been waiting for all this time. So, I brought you here to tell you bye. You can go home. That's what the rapture theory is. when he gets your well trained, the fight starts. Just before it starts, whisk out the trained soldiers and just leave the widows and children. Amen. I tell you, it won't quite be that way. But the thing that I detest about it the most is that it doesn't teach any righteous living if you're going to be caught out anyhow just by coming to know the Lord. But I tell you, whether you're caught up that way or come through the manifestation of the sons of God, which is what I teach, if both were true, you'd have to make yourself ready. The bride has made herself ready. It has been my privilege, or if it is a privilege, to have married over 300 couples. And I noticed one thing about the bride. I seen them come, you know, when the music, here comes the bride. I seen them come through the door way back there on their father's arm. I seen them all sizes and their hair different colors, their attire different a lot of times. But I tell you, they had one common denominator. They made themselves ready. I have yet to ever hear the organ strike up the music to look to see a bride coming through the door back there with one of them chenille house coats tied tight in the middle. And her toes pushed in the end of a pair of worn out house shoes. No, they had gotten ready for something. Now, if you're going to do this something, you have to get ready. See, this involves a lot of teaching, because now we would need to teach on where does human initiative meet the sovereignty of God? There is a sovereignty of God that will do a lot of this for you, but it won't do it all. You must learn where to meet the sovereignty of God with human initiative. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, that's a teaching itself. That'd take me longer than time I got. I better go with this. Hallelujah. All right, Adam here is foreshadowing. He is foreshadowing a man in the earth in God's image with dominion over all of God's creation. How about that? Is that a lofty calling? It is indeed, isn't it? A man in God's image, in the image of God, with God's creation under his feet, or he has dominion over God's creation. Now, God was taking this to foreshadow what he will do in the end of this age. At the end of this age, of course, it comes down through Jesus, but I'm going to have to take for granted that you'll know some of these things. Hallelujah. Amen. But he was foreshadowing the man that he will have at the end of this age will be a many-membered body of sons of God that have been conformed to the image of the O of God. Hallelujah. And has dominion over the works of God and the creation of God. And this is called sonship. Hallelujah. Oh, to be a manifested son of God. Hallelujah. There are no manifested sons of God at this moment. There won't be until God has readied 144,000 that he will bring to Zion. These are the first fruits. And after the first fruits, there is a general harvest. And then there are the gleanings. There are so many things to be covered. So little time, perhaps, to do it. Hallelujah. All right. Then, after Adam's foreshadowing here, just for the, just to do it, what does Eve speak of then? Here comes Eve. Well, at the time that God does this, Eve is in Adam. The two are one. But there is a little bit of a, of a hint here. Adam named all the animals in chapter 2, and in the end of the 20th verse, for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now Adam looked at the animals that he had named and noticed that they were in pairs. And they were quite fond of each other in pairs. And Adam kindly looked around him and wondered where his, he says help me, but he wondered where his playmate was. For he had seen the animals with their playmates. So God caused a deep sleep to come on him and takes Eve out and presents him to Adam. Now Eve is a type of the glorious church that shall bring forth a ministry that will release groaning creation from its bondage. This is deliverance. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Eve is the type of the glorious church, so stated, that she will, in verse 15 of the third chapter, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Eve is going to bring forth the man-child that will bruise the head of the serpent. And while he's doing it, he'll get some scars. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, said the great apostle Paul, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I ever forget what I'm doing here, he was in that old prison over there in, thank you, Brother Wilson, he was in that old prison over there in Rome, and the guards were speculating about him, and they were fascinated by him and by his reputation, and if ever Paul forgot what he was doing there, he could look and see the great scars that adorned his body. He had gotten in warfare against the enemies of God. He had wrestled with the beast at Ephesus. Tradition has it that he was very scarred from his many beatings and lashings and whippings. If he ever wondered if it is real, all he had to do was look at his scarred body, and he knew why he was in that dungeon. He said, Timothy, he wrote to his beloved son, spiritual son, and said, Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I'm ready to be offered. I tell you, Timothy, I will never consent to execution, but I'm ready to be offered. The Romans will think they executed me, but you will know that I've been poured out. An offering. Hallelujah. I'm ready not for execution. I'm ready to be offered. Hallelujah. Well, my friend, in a sense, if you're not ready to be offered, you better make your mind up this morning to get ready. Because we are indeed going to be offered. I am an offering being poured out unto God. If I am not, if somebody will tell me what I'm doing, I'll just quit it. If I am not an offering being poured out unto Him, then pray tell me what I'm doing. You know, for years and years and years and more miles than I care to remember, I've been teaching these unsearchable riches. I have exhausted my physical body. I have abused my physical body through travel and long hours. I'm being poured out. You are being poured out. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We sang an old chorus. Would you be poured out? You sang that before. Hallelujah. Yes. Paul said, no doubt they'll say that they executed Paul, but you will know that God has offered me up under Himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. We said that Eve represents the church, the glorious church that will bring forth this ministry. So what does that tell us in the outsetting? I'll get a little ahead of myself, but I tell you this, that the glorious church is in the earth today.
Yes.
And she is impregnated to bring forth a man child that will rule with a rod of iron. So if you ask me, are you born again? Well, if we were on a plane just flying at 40,000 feet and I just met you the first time, you asked me if I'm born again Christian, I'd say yes, without any further explanation. But if you want to be scholars and move in revelation, I'd say no. And then I'd say, I fear that you aren't either. Oh, boy. Brother Colonel Wilson shook some up. I'm going to finish blowing them away, I guess. I'd say that you're not either, but what do I mean? Yeah, but it's all right to use the term. I have nothing against the term that I'm born again. Like I say, it's a means of identification. It means, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? And certainly we have done that. But he that is born of God sinneth not, because he cannot sin, because his seed remaineth in him. Now, if there's anybody here that is not capable of sin, I will concede quickly that you are born again. Anybody here like that? I want you to pray for me. Well, then, if we are not born again, when does the birth come? Will we ever be born again? The answer is yes, indeed. But when will the birth come? When the church travails in birth pangs.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.